Let's open our Bibles. I got a few verses I want to share about fasting and prayer. First of all, let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, 4. We're gathered here in faith. Got all of these homes, all of these families, all these people represented here. You have gathered because you believe. And here's the first Sunday of the new year. And I just want to stress to you, we believe in God and His Word. And here, in Deuteronomy 4, it says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You know, Jesus repeated this when one came ask him, you know, what's the most important of all the commands? And Jesus repeated this. This was a famous line throughout all Israel. They would start many of their congregational prayers like this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." You know, and then they would go on to, in their ceremony and all the different gatherings they had, "Here, the Lord God is one," is the first command, one God, and to love him and honor him and put him first. Jesus said, this is the first and most important. And then he said, and the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. So loving God and putting him first, and we've come here today, the first Sunday of the year, putting him first in our life. And we like to take this time at the first part of the year and do a special time of seeking him and fasting and prayer to put him first in everything. Amen. Because, hey, he's the creator. He's Almighty God. He reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. And it's just right to stop and think and honor him and put him first all throughout the year. But here in this beginning, sometimes it's good to do a little bit of a spring cleaning where we shake off some of the stuff that's maybe infiltrated in our minds and our hearts. Maybe we've gotten away from coming faithfully. Maybe we've gotten away from reading, studying. Maybe we've gotten away from praying with our wife or our spouse, or, you know, talking to our children. Maybe we've gotten too far into some of the things of the world. And sometimes it's good to do a little spiritual check and say, hey, I'm going to pause from some stuff of the world, and I'm going to focus this time on seeking you. I believe that as we turn aside individually, but also corporately, Lord God, you are God, we are not. You're the creator. You reconciled us. Help us to follow you. I believe we can fine-tune our listening to the voice of the Spirit. I believe sometimes it's kind of like, church, I talk about it during the fast, it's kind of like a radio frequency. When you're in between stations and you start to get a lot of buzz and a lot of fuzz from different channels coming in. Sometimes you have to go back and tune in and get focused on the one you want to hear. Well, that's what we're purposing in this fast. Fasting is denying the flesh in order to strengthen the spirit. We're fasting with a spiritual purpose. We're denying ourselves some things in order to turn our hearts and minds toward the one thing and focus more directly on him. And we're doing it together. Amen. Together in our homes, together as a church. So we're going to focus on what we need to focus, putting him first. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And all the other things that we're concerned about and get distracted on, all the other things that's needed, he said, will be added unto you. So it's to turn aside and seek him. I'm not even talking about trying to do more for him. I'm just talking about being able to sit at his feet and walk with him and hear him. Amen. You know, you can get more done in your life, praise the Lord, get more done in your work, get more done in the kingdom for him as we spend time with him. Amen? Because ultimately, it's his work through us. You know, we remember the story of Mary and Martha. You know, Martha quite busy wanting to do good things, you know, getting ready, you know, the meal and everything for him. And Mary was sitting at his feet. And Jesus said, hey, no, don't complain about her. She's chosen the right thing. Amen. So we're turning aside some things. And so we're asking you to join us in this Daniel fast, fasting and praying and earnestly seeking him. Let's go with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 6. I love to share this verse. Deep in the New Testament, yeah, I hear a few pages turning. That's good. Turn with me. We love you to bring your Bibles, to open them up, to look at it, to write things down. Hebrews 11, 6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We must believe that he is, and you do, or you wouldn't be here. And he rewards those who earnestly, some translation says the word diligently or earnestly seeking him. That's putting a little time and effort into seeking him. He'll reward that. I'm not talking about, now look, think about this, church. I'm asking you to turn aside some of your usual regular things, turn aside, deny yourself even eating sometimes, and turn aside and using that time earnestly, diligently to seek him for a spiritual purpose. And our spiritual purpose together is that we can hear his voice more clearly. Okay? You know, it's one thing to go through our motions of all of our life, our regular schedule, whatever we do, however much TV we watch or however much phone we look at or however much we eat, whatever, and just do our thing. And now it's Sunday morning, so we come. And we haven't done anything out of our way, you know. But it's another thing to purpose. You know what? A pastor's asking us to read Daniel together. A lot of times I just blow that stuff off. But you know, this time I'm going to purpose my heart and I'm going to read it together with my church and study it too. I'm going to purpose in my heart and I'm going to join them in the fast. Many of you, you know, we handed out a little fasting sheet that gives suggestions with the bulletins, and we have those. Let's see. Here we go. They were yellow, and this is just a simple suggestion we use every year, and it just suggests some of the things we're going to eat and the things we're not going to eat. It's nothing real stringent or real particular. There's some out there. It's simply yes to we're going to drink some clear water. That's a good thing. Amen. Yes, fruit juice, vegetable juice, unsweet tea, health shakes, whatever you want to do there. No to Cokes and sodas, Diet Coke, high fructose corn syrup, sweet tea. No, hey, we're turning aside from some of the sugar of the stuff of the world. We're turning aside and we're going to eat fruits, vegetables, nuts, whole grain. Hey, lean meats if you want. Some are going to do just vegetables. Others lean meat. That's going to be an individual. We're going to fast together, but then you pray about it and let the Lord lead you, each one, what you're going to do for these 3 weeks. I only ask that what you purpose in your heart, what God shows you, that you keep it. That you don't waver back and forth, up and down, one day to the next, depending on how your tummy feels. Okay? Make a decision, pray about it, and then stand with it and devote it to the Lord. Hello? Amen? We're making a decision. Yes, we're going to read the book of Daniel. Yes, I'm going to participate. Maybe I'm not a part of a life group on Sunday morning. Maybe I'll get up a little early and I'm going to come and be a part of a class because I'm reading Daniel and my friends are reading Daniel and others, and we'll study it together and we'll talk about it and pray about it with one another. That would be a good thing. Amen. He wants us involved like that. So we're going to limit the junk food. It's just a list there. I'm asking some of you to participate with me Wednesdays, one day a week where we don't eat, where we just do water. Or maybe if you know you don't like that, maybe you can do juice or liquids that day. Okay? I'm going to do that on Wednesdays for the next 3 weeks. I ask you to consider joining me in that. Amen. Fasting and praying, turning aside, Yes, does sometimes it hurt a little? Yeah, you're going to get hungry. You know, you're used to, you know, go and grab this. It's going to be difficult for me. I'm a busy schedule. I have to run. Sometimes I run, get fast food all the time. Well, that, you know, that cheeseburger's not on it anymore. You know, I've got to plan ahead, do something different or go without. Okay, so think about it ahead of time. Prepare yourself. You might have to make a Walmart run today and get some fruits, nuts, and vegetables. Okay, you know, whatever it takes. But think about it, plan ahead. And I just encourage you to join us with this. Praise the Lord. We're asking not only to fast food and drinks, but we're fasting some of our time we spend away. There might be some TV shows you're used to that the Holy Spirit's putting a check in you, where on that TV show they're regularly participating in fornication. Or they're promoting fornication. I'm talking about any shows or movies where people are sleeping together and they're not married. And they're making it out like it's okay, like it's no big deal. It's just a laugh. It's just a joke. Oh, come on, it's Pastor Dave. It's just a fun. It's just for fun. Well, not everything that's funny out there is good. There's lots of vulgar, funny, really funny jokes and comedians out there. But I don't choose to participate in it. Hello? Not everything that everybody else likes and is funny is good is godly. So let the Holy Spirit lead you. Maybe there's some things, maybe there's some good things you're watching on television or whatever, but it's taking your time where you're spending so much time on that or your phone or whatever that say, I'm going to fast. Hey, I'm going to take 3 or 4 hours a day and put this thing off and put it away. And I'll use that time to maybe talk to my children or visit with my spouse or go for a walk or read or study. Amen? Just want to challenge you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in this. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in our normal daily routine that we're not focused in letting God do a work in us. You know, we're looking at this. He says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay? It doesn't say he rewards halfway efforts. It doesn't say he rewards those who maybe partially, by the way, if I have time, I might seek you a little. Or I might open up my Bible and, you know, point somewhere and read a scripture today. You know? It doesn't say he rewards halfway efforts. He says he rewards those who purpose in their heart to diligently seek. Think about this. God was calling to speak to Moses. There was a fiery bush up there. He saw something and he knew he needed to see it and go listen. But you know what? The fire didn't come down and come into his bedroom right there and talk to him there. He saw the fire on the mountain. He had to turn aside, tell his wife, his kids, his sheep, whatever. Hey, sorry, I've got to do this. I'm going somewhere. And he climbed the mountain and he earnestly went to seek what it was. And there God spoke to him. Amen. So sometimes you have to turn aside. We're looking at, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. But I want to challenge you here and let you know he's going to reward it. When we turn aside and say, Lord God, I want to read, I want to study, and I'm not just going through the motions. Show me something. I purpose in my heart. I'm going to read Daniel. Lord, I know this story. We grew up with it. But Lord God, I'm going to seek you. You speak to me. Show me something. He will. He will reward. I promise you, because he does, he'll reward that effort of seeking him. Amen. Every time we open this book and ask the Holy Spirit, God will speak to your heart. He can show you things. He can unveil it. It's an never-ending, growing revelation. James 4:8 says it this way. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He's ready, willing, and able to show you himself. He's just looking for a few folks who will come close to him. Come close and want to see and ask. He says, praise the Lord. You know, in Deuteronomy 4, let's go back there a minute. Go back to Deuteronomy. You know, here he was telling them that they're going to be scattered, you know, that they will turn away from him, commit idolatry, all these things, and they're going to be scattered. But he tells them this, he gives them this promise in 4:29. But if from there, wherever you have been scattered, you know, whatever you've been away from the church, you've been away from God, you've been busy with other things, wherever you've been scattered, if from there you stop, turn, purpose your heart, if from there you seek the Lord God, Bible says you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. Everyone just say this with me in faith, with all your heart. God's drawing his people closer to himself. He's preparing our heart. Luke 11, 9 and 10, Jesus says this way, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And then he promises everyone who seeks will find. Everyone who asks, it'll be given. Now, it's not like, well, Pastor, I tried that. I read a chapter and I just didn't get it. I didn't get anything of it, so I'm done. No. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on pursuing diligently. Spend a little time and effort. Look into it. He wants to show you himself. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Call unto me. We have a God, a personal God who loves us, who wants to reveal himself so much that he sent his word to become a man and walk among us. Then he sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God that was in Christ Jesus, that raised Christ Jesus. He sent the Spirit to dwell inside of you. And then he tells us, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. If you're taking notes on that, John 16, 13 through 15. I'm going to send you the Spirit, and when he comes, he's going to show you all the truth. He will take what is mine and reveal it unto you. Everything. He wants to show us all of the truth. He just wants us to turn aside and seek, praise the Lord. So we're denying the flesh, amen. We're going to strengthen the Spirit like a little spring cleaning of some of the junk of our lives, whatever it be, the junk of the food, the junk of our lives, a little spring cleaning to focus on the one thing. Just some examples I like to give from the Old Testament. You know and heard the story, Moses, he climbed the mountain. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Met with God on Mount Sinai. As he's fasting 40 days, 40 nights, he's meeting with God himself, and God delivers his word to him that he might give it to all the people. Think about that, okay? You're fasting and praying, seeking, and God's speaking to you. But it's not just to bless you. Now that word and that revelation that's grown deeper, your relationship with God, because you've sought him, you sought him and he shows you himself that you might show himself to others. Now watch this. So it's not just about you, church. It's about we're fasting and seeking together that you might grow closer to the Lord, that you might be able to reveal him to those around you. See, Moses spent that time 40 days and 40 nights, and God gave him a word, not just for him, but for all of us. Amen? As you seek the Lord, I believe, praise the Lord, as you seek, study, and pray, you're going to get closer to God. God's going to speak to you more, that what he gives you and shows you, you'll be able to share with others. Amen? So our heart is, look, if you're not willing just to do it for yourself, lay down yourself and do it for others. No greater love is someone than this, that they lay down their life for their friend. I'm asking you to lay down your Cheetos for a friend. I'm asking you to lay down your phone for the others around you. I'm asking you to lay down some things that you might be closer to him, that what he gives you, you love other people so much, you're willing to go get from him to give it to others. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. It's a demonstration of that. My life is no longer mine, but my life is yours, Lord. Not I live, but you live. I've got people you want us to preach to. You've got folks you want to do through us. Lord, help us to turn aside and be close to you, that when we're going, speak to the nations and going, you'll speak through us because we've spent time with you. Amen. When we're going to work this year in 2018, help me to be an effective witness on my job. Help me to have Christ-like attitude in what I say and what I do. Lord, draw me close to you that I might demonstrate you to others. You see, it's not all of this is based on his love. Praise the Lord. Elijah, later, read that story. He went to the same mountain where Moses was, Mount Sinai. And that's where you know the story. God revealed himself to Elijah as a still, small voice. The Ninevites fasted and prayed after hearing Jonah preach, and the coming judgment was coming. Jonah preached, you know, hey, there's a judgment coming. And the Ninevites listened, turned and fasted and prayed, and God saw it, and it turned away the wrath and the judgment that had already been pronounced. Think about that. Fasting and praying, seeking God, he'll answer. He honors it. Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament fasted. The Moabite army was coming. Fasted and prayed. God gave him a word. The battle belongs to me. This is not your fight. The battle belongs to the Lord. With confidence, they were able to win. Ezra fasted and prayed. They're coming back from Babylon, from the exile. They're coming back to Jerusalem, fasting and praying for the safe journey on the way. Esther, you know the story in the book. Esther fasting and praying. They're about to wipe out all the Jews, all of Israel. And she asked the people, join me. She dedicated, she consecrated a three-day fast. Asked the people, join me in this to save Israel. They fasted and prayed. God answered, praise the Lord. And Israel was spared. Praise the Lord. We know that Daniel fasted and prayed and received revelation. Hallelujah. Jesus himself fasted and prayed. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 16, and then Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Luke 5. Bible says, I'm going to back up to verse 15 and then 16. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But watch this, church. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Okay? Here's all the crowds coming to see him. He's healing the sick, raising the dead, speaking the good news to the poor. But Jesus, as a man, okay, came from heaven to earth, became one of us. He thought it important. Jesus Christ, our Lord, as a man, he thought it important to turn away, to go get alone with God. The Bible says many times he would go alone and pray all night on the mountain. Hey, while the disciples were busy toiling, trying to get their boat across the lake in the storm, Jesus was spending time with God, and then he just walked on the water and calmed the storm. You see, sometimes we want to be about doing, and so much God wants to spend time just with you in his presence. And then what you're going to do is going to come more easy. Amen? Because it'll be his flow flowing through you. When I think about, hey, some of the things going on, all of the activity we've got surrounded in my role, in the church, in Fresh Start, in the buildings, in the world missions, and all of this, you know, we can get overwhelmed with the doing. So what I like to do is turn aside and just talk to him. And the doing, that those things start to flow a whole lot better. A flow, because it's him. Because I can recognize, Lord, we can, in myself, in ourself, we can do nothing, but in you, we can do all things. So Jesus was doing all this for the glory of God, but he would regularly, church, and faithfully turn aside and go spend time alone with God. Amen? Now he's connected to that power source flowing through him. So we connect, we're spending time with God in faithfulness, and being with him, his presence in us grows clearer and stronger. Then we take what we've been given and we're ready to walk in this fallen world with the presence of God. Amen. I'm telling you, by the word of the Lord right now, that God's going to reward everyone in here who uses this time to seek him. How can I can prophesy that clearly? Why? I'm just quoting the word. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. That means you. This is not something for 2,000 years ago written for the Bible days. We are in the Bible days, and he's writing it to you right now. He's going to reward all of us who turn aside to seek diligently. He's going to reward that effort with what? What is the reward? He's going to reveal himself to you more. You're going to know him and hear him and follow him more clearly. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke 6. So look, circle that. Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Jesus spent the night praying to God. Just spent the night talking to God. Well, is that like too much? Is that excess? Is that overkill? Is that what? No, Jesus did. Amen? He spent the night turning to Jesus. We think, hey, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You came from heaven. Why do you got to spend so much time praying? Why do you do this? Why do you turn? Why do you fast? Why do you pray? Why do you do? Look, if Jesus did, don't you think we should too? If Jesus would turn aside and pray and spend time with God so he can flow with him. You know, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. We forget, guys, he's fully God, but he's also fully man. He was tempted in every way and never yielded to it, okay? He suffered. He felt grief. He felt pain, okay? He felt things, and he turned aside and spent time with the Father, hallelujah, that he might be empowered to do the things he's called to do. You know, it's amazing. God is doing a mighty work in this church. And we need, and through Fresh Start, through the ministries, through the food bank, through the world outreach, we have to always bow our knee and recognize, Lord God, without you, we can do nothing. This is your work. Lord God, this is your ministry. You are the King. And you can do everything you've set us and called us to do, we could fulfill as long as we humbly walk seeking your face, listening to your voice, not getting too sidetracked with the junk of the world, but staying focused on our calling and what you've called us to do. Hallelujah. Amen. One more verse there I want to show before we go to the book of Daniel for a brief moment. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Flip back from Luke a little bit to the left. Matthew 6. Amen. Some folks ask about, well, what about fasting? What about this and the New Testament times? Jesus tells us, Matthew 6, 1 and 2, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men or to be seen by them. But if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, verse 2, okay? I like to quote verse 5, and when you pray, okay? And then go down to verse 16, and when you fast. You see that in Matthew 6? It says when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. It doesn't say if you ever decide to give, or if you pray, or if you fast. No, this is part of the Christian life, giving, praying, fasting. When you do, do it with the attitude that I'm doing this for your glory, Lord. I'm doing this not to seek a reward from men, but a reward from you in heaven. Amen? Many times in this fasting, the personal, private thing, and sometimes, but hey, we're calling together, this is a corporate fast. We're calling together a fast together where we do talk about it amongst ourselves, where we do encourage one another, where we're doing it together for a spiritual reason for each individual home and family, but also for the local body as well. Praise God. Now go with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Just a few weeks ago, in November, I was started to do a teaching on the book of Daniel. Started Daniel 1 and 2. We got into it. If you want to go back there and see the rest of that message, you can see it on our Facebook page. One of the things that we're going to be expanding on in 2018 is the technology. We're upgrading our internet so we can have a better live feed for our people out there. You know, these days with all the technology available, the people we reach in the church is not the ones just sitting in the pew, but we're reaching folks out there, okay? Some different nations, from different ones that are listening, that are listening to a word and sharing it on their way to work. So we want to continue to make this good news known to all the earth in any means that we have. Praise the Lord. I want to show you something in Daniel 7, just one line I want to talk about for a moment. Daniel chapter 7, verse 26. Talk about this a lot in the prophecy and the end. The Bible says, but the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. We're talking about the enemy's power. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole earth, heaven and earth, will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. You know, Daniel, the book of Daniel, is kind of a companion book to the book of Revelation. No other Old Testament prophecy like that is more clear and thorough in talking about the end times. Some of the chapters in Daniel talk about the future to him, what has already happened in the different kingdoms that he talks about. But some of it's talking about the future that's still future for even us. Some of it talks about the return of Christ. Some of it talks about, like in this verse, in that chapter, he's talking about the 77s, and we'll get into that a little bit later, and we'll compare and we'll combine it with teachings from John out of the book of Revelation. Amen? Because he talks about the future, and we can know. And the things, Daniel, last month when I was talking about chapter 1 and 2, and we saw the statue, and we saw the different kingdoms that were coming, well, just like Daniel prophesied that the Babylonians were here now, and then the Medes and Persians were coming, and then you were going to have the Greek kingdom, and then you were going to have the Roman kingdom. Hey, Daniel prophesied that before it happened. At the time of his prophecy, Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, and he was telling them about the kingdoms to come. And then he said the rock that was cut out not with human hands would come, Jesus Christ, and establish his kingdom. But then some of the prophecies, like this one, is talking strictly about the future of even what we're in today. Amen? And when he says this, the court will sit, and the kingdom will be handed over to the saints. It shows clearly that church, and I preach this, the saints win in the end. But you know, I was talking to David John a couple of months ago, and he reminded me that when we go to the different nations and we're preaching messages to the pastor, one of the closing messages we always preach is called Case Dismissed. So he reminded me, do you know this court Daniel prophesied about really spiritually has already sit. Hear me now. The court will sit. See, there's turmoil coming, and there's an antichrist, and he comes to power in the world, and there's struggle, and there's even a battle with him and the saints that are born again after the rapture, and there's persecution for those who don't receive the mark, and he threatens, and he kills, and there's struggle, and there's martyrs at that time. But then the prophet says, but hey, don't worry. The court will sit, and all the kingdoms of the earth are going to be handed over to the saints. But David reminded me, hey, that court really spiritually has already sit. And the kingdom and the power has already, praise the Lord, been handed over to the saints. You see, it's happening now spiritually first, and then one day it'll happen physically as well. But right now, Satan is defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Right now, the kingdom and the power has been, the authority to go into all the earth has already been handed over to us. And now we're taking that power, we're taking that authority, we're taking that victory to the ends of the earth. Amen? Are you with me? So Daniel's prophesying these things. Get ready. Let me share this with you. You know, this message of the revelation of his grace, a deeper revelation of grace that many folks didn't get, and now they get. Many of you here have been, you know, the revelation of grace that in his finished work, now God's called us to take it to the nations. So we do that Go Deep Grace Conference, and I try to keep the church informed of what's happening. Well, about 4 years ago, we were in Livingstone, Zambia, and we're preaching it there. And pastors came from six different nations there. And as they heard the word, and they were changed by it, and it touched them because their eyes were darkened just to, you know, an understanding of the law. Now they understand the truth of what Jesus did fulfilling the law. Well, then they, after 2 days of teaching and preaching, they receive it. And then the ones that came from the different nations, they invite us and say, please, we beg you, we urge you, come teach this to our pastors in this nation. So from this little church, he has us going. So 4 years ago, there was a group of pastors that came across the border from Zimbabwe, and they came to Zambia. And they're asking, please come to us. And the time was just not ready yet. After that, we've been to Uganda. This past year, we went to Ethiopia and Malawi. Both of those countries opened up because of that preaching in Zambia. Okay? A group from Malawi came. One man from Ethiopia. And it resulted in now preaching to pastors in those countries. So we go back to Livingstone. And we're preaching again. And Miss Barbara was in Livingstone, Zambia with me. And you know, groups came in from Namibia holding a sign. We're representing the church in Namibia. Groups came from Botswana. Groups came from Zambia. And now it's time. And I've been working with a pastor back and forth over this last month, getting ready. It's time we're going to go to Zimbabwe. We're going to Zimbabwe. March the 8th and 9th is a conference we have set up there. But I'll tell you this. He was sending his proposed budget. Because see, not only we bring these pastors in. I'm talking about in Africa, they used to live in on $1 a day. We help bring them in. We help house them. This church helps feed them. And I'm going over his budget. And his plan is to bring in 700 pastors. Now, this would seem a little far-fetched in the past to me. What? Really? I mean, if we called a conference here, how many pastors would we have? I don't know. But this man here, I'm not on television. I don't have a bunch of books circulating. How do they know me? What's going on? But yet he says, we believe in for 700 pastors. And the reason, and I'm questioning, well, why are you trying to house them all? He said, because pastor, I'm not bringing in 700 pastors from our local city. When I heard this message 4 years ago, it changed my life and changed my heart. And it's my goal, together with the team with me, to get this word to pastors from every province of our country. He said, I have a goal to try to reach 70 pastors, apostles, bishops, pastors from different denominations from every province in Zimbabwe and bring them to a central location at this place, a conference center, where a Baptist conference center has set up a place where they have dormitories and have place. It's outside two cities. It's about 100 miles away from this city, and it's outside, and they can house them all. He said, I want to bring them in where I don't have to worry about busting them in and out, where they can focus on the word, receive it, hear it, and be involved in this and receive this. So how can that happen? How can you organize pastors from provinces way across the nation? He said, we have networks where I know apostles and pastors and leaders from other places that can network the pastors in their district. And we would still think that far-fetched in our old mindset. But now we've been to Uganda and we've seen it happen already when John Wandera, about 4 years ago, brought in pastors from every single province of his nation to hear this word. So now we're hearing this and we're believing it. Okay? And now he's saying, hey, and Pastor, I want to ask you, with your permission and from your church, could you help me also? I have key leaders from Lesotho in South Africa and Mozambique, and I'd like to bring in a few leaders there all the way in to hear this word that they might want to reproduce it in their nation. Church, I'm telling you this for this reason. Prophetic word of our calling here at the River of Life. You see, I want to get this word to you through our Fresh Start ministry. I want to get this word and everything he's teaching us to you, our local congregation. But praise God, it's bigger than that. I want you to have the heart that, yes, Pastor, what you've taught us, we also want you to teach to other pastors, and we will help send you, and we will help bring those pastors in, and we will help fund the Go Deep Grace conferences all over the world, that what God has given us here, we can give there, because the word we're getting is not just for us, it's to go through us to others. We're blessed in order to be a blessing. Amen. I got off the phone with this humble man talking, this is sharing his heart. I came in here and I began to pray in the Spirit. I want to encourage you, church. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Sometimes you know not aught what you should pray for, but the Spirit in you does. Amen? So while you're fasting and praying, I want to encourage you to begin to stir up the gift in you and not only pray in your known language, but pray in your unknown language. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. In other words, pray in the Spirit where your mind doesn't understand, and sometimes pray in English where your mind understands. Folks, these things are bigger than what we can do in the natural. These things are spiritually discerned, and they're spiritual, hallelujah, and we got to recognize, Lord Jesus, it's your power, it's your glory that would cause this little country church to be able to reach the world. Amen? We're one small cog in the big wheel, but it's still significant to God and all of those pastors and people we touch. Amen? There are pastors and leaders, heroes of the faith. They go, hey, Mark Hankins, right down here in Alexandria, has been going to all the world preaching this message of our identity in Christ to nations all around. He's on television. He's got supporters from all the world, and he's going. And there's many like him, and yet God's calling us right here to do. Why? Because church, it's a big world. There's 7 billion people on earth. There's churches that's been planted in every nation through denominations that God has done a great work and built a foundation, but they started something. Now God wants to build on that foundation and lead them and guide them into deeper revelation and deeper truth of what he has begun. I'm telling you, because it's an unfolding truth. It's an unfolding revelation. We started with something here, praise the Lord, and God continues to reveal himself by his word, the same word. It just grows deeper. You study it once, you think you got it. You study it again. He continues to show. He continues to reveal. So God is opening up the truth to everyone on earth. I'm prophesying to you now. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The church is coming together in unity and power and glory. Jesus prayed, Father, make them one like we are one, so the world may know that you sent me. What's happening right now all around the world? We're becoming one. Here in Franklin Parish, churches are growing in the truth, okay? And you know what? Here's what else is happening. Where they're not willing to grow in this truth, they're busting up. Right now, in Franklin Parish, there's churches that leadership doesn't want to move in the deeper revelation of truth, and the people are running because it's time. We don't have time to play with error anymore. I don't apologize for speaking the truth and saying, hey, the truth is going to go out and it's going to cut and divide. And some folks are going to want it, and some folks and are going to stick with their tradition, more with their truth, and the people who love God are going to have to leave. And that's happening right now, not only here, but all over the world. That's why your fastest growing churches around the world are non-denominational, spirit-led churches that are no longer bound by the traditions of men. Okay? You're a part of that movement. And that's why when we go to Zimbabwe, this guy can talk to leaders in other provinces, and apostles and prophets and leaders of denominations will listen, and they're coming together. Watch this. They're coming from various denominations. Mm-hmm. I'm not going over there to reach the non-denominational crowd. There's going to be various denominations represented at this conference, and we're going to speak the truth. And after the messages, guess what? They'll be closer in unity before. Because the truth is what's bringing us together. And as we grow in truth and grow in unity, the next step, he fills this house with glory. Let me sum that up again for you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. I got a new revelation on that verse. Heard it one way all my life. But the focus there is not the sin. The focus there is the glory. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. So I'm going to fix the sin and give you back the glory. That's the purpose of the verse. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. So I'm sending my son to do away, to wipe out the sin by the blood of the cross and cause whoever believes to come in, praise the Lord, remove their sin that they might be right with me. And as they're right with me, and you get right with me, and you get right with me, we'll be together on the same page. And when we're together, I'm going to fill this house with his glory. Amen. I'm here to report on you. Church, we're one group right here doing what God's called us to do. But it's happening in nation after nation all around. We're in end time revival. This move, praise the Lord, the move that Jesus started when he sent his spirit to dwell in the church is growing rapidly. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to every nation, every tongue, and then he's going to return. And I'm telling you, prophesying to you now, that it's happening with more acceleration every year. 2018, praise the Lord, Andrew, I'm believing, you know, where God's going to send us. That he's already opened up one new nation, Zimbabwe. From this conference, he's going to open up others. I want some of you to begin praying during your Daniel fast, praying for your church, that South America will open to us, that Eastern Europe will open to us, that, praise the Lord, whatever God has us to go, that we'll be ready, willing, and able to go. And praise the Lord, you know what? It's not you have to worry, well, my pastor's gone all the time. Look, man, it's a good thing that you send me, because I got a whole bunch of folks in here that love to see me go, because they love to preach. We want them preaching. They're good preachers, amen? We're raising up a team. The spirit that's in Jesus is in me, and it's in them, hallelujah. And they're preaching too. So praise God, we're doing it all together. Amen? And it's a good thing. It's not like a church that, say, can't find someone to help out or preach your teeth. Man, we got dozens in here. Why? Because the truth is in them. And the Holy Spirit's doing a work. Hey, we're going to close this prayer. I'm going to ask you while I'm looking at you, no heads bowed and no eyes closed. We're going to look around. Just to encourage your neighbor to your left or your right, because we're doing it together. How many are willing to join me in whatever way God's calling you, starting today in this 21-day Daniel fast? Anybody? Majority of you already. Some of you not so sure yet. That's okay. Pray about it. Let God lead you. Ask about it. And fast in your own way. But what you give to the Lord, I'm just asking you to give it for 3 weeks. Those of you who want to join me on Wednesdays, I'm not eating anything. Might drink something, you know, something like that. That'd be good. If you want to break it in the evening meal, that's fine. If you want to push it through the night and break the fast in the morning breakfast, that's even better. Let the Lord lead you, okay? We're going to dedicate ourselves right now to this fast in order to turn and seek. How many are going to join me in studying and reading the book of Daniel together? Amen?